The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, government releases funds to pay arrears owed hospitals under NHIS. World marks Cancer Day. Winneba Municipal Hospital recorded no maternal deaths last year. University of Ghana students kick against controversial road toll. Remains of BBC anchor Kwamla Adumo flown home. And President Goodluck Jonathan meets with new service chiefs to review national security. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
The Ghana Health Service and its allied agencies are today joining the global community to mark World Cancer Day. This year's theme, Debunk the Myth, Cancer is Preventable and Curable, is to drum home the need to seek early treatment in order to reduce fatalities the disease poses to the human race. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Health has released funds to pay arrears owed under the National Health Insurance Scheme. This follows threats by the Ghana Chamber of Pharmaceuticals to suspend supply of medicines to hospitals under the NHIS due to delay in reimbursement. The administrator of the Winneba Municipal Hospital, Hayford Frimpong, says the facility recorded no maternal deaths last year as compared to three in 2012 and 2011. He said the hospital also recorded only one case of stillbirth in 2013 compared to 15 in 2012 and 41 in 2011. Mr. Frimpong made these remarks at the 2013 annual performance review meeting of the hospital in Winneba. The introduction of toll booths at the University of Ghana has created heavy traffic congestion, leading to inconveniences to both drivers and students. Radio Ghana's visit to the campus reveals that drivers have increased their fares by almost 100% and students have threatened to go on demonstration if not exempted from the toll. And President Goodluck Jonathan has presided over the first security meeting we deliberated on the continuing insecurity in parts of the country and the strategy to halt them. This follows last week's Senate's approval of appointments of new service chiefs.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The Ghana Chamber of Pharmaceuticals, GCP, has warned that it will suspend supply of medicines to hospitals under the NHIS from the 10th of this month. In a statement, the head of research and advocacy of the chamber, Stanley Ajay, said the decision is as a result of the failure of service providers under the NHIS to reimburse the distributors for medicines supplied. The statement said some of the hospitals are in arrears for as far back as May and July last year. The GCP said the delay in a reimbursement by the NHIA is impacting negatively on the financial strength as well as the survival of the distributors. It says its members have resorted to borrowing from banks at 30% interest rate and sometimes from microfinance institutions at interest rates of 5% monthly in order to bridge the funding gap and sustain supplies to the hospital.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Health, Sherry Aiti, says government has released a substantial amount of money to pay arrears owed hospitals under the National Health Insurance Scheme. Her comments follow threats issued by the Ghana Chamber of Pharmaceuticals to suspend supply of medicines to hospitals under the NHIS due to delay in reimbursement. But the minister says, apart from money released last week, the Finance Ministry is about to release another tranche to defray all arrears. She spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
The National Health Insurance Scheme, the patients, they are provided, you know, medicine from the pharmacy units within the hospital.
And then how regularly do you pay the providers?
By the law, you know, government, it's always about 2 months, you know, in arrears because, you know, it's about 2.5% of VAT. And the money has to be paid into the consolidated account and then it has to be reconciled. And then after that, government releases the money to the scheme for reimbursement to providers. So last week, government has released, you know, a substantial amount of money to clear some of the outstanding, you know, indebtedness. And then after that, the Minister of Finance will also release the balance. so that we'll be in a current position.
For purposes of clarity, can you tell us how much was released to these pharmaceutical service providers?
Now, the pharmaceutical service providers, they are dealing directly with the hospitals. You know, they are dealing with the hospital. When somebody with an NHI card goes to the hospital and you've been looked after, you go to the pharmacy and then you are given, you know, medicine. And then the provider will make claims for the medicine that, you know, has been supplied. So if we refund the money to the hospital, then the hospitals will also pay by the pharmaceutical company. Yes, yes.
How many months payment were made to the hospitals?
I think I will not know, because now the National Health Insurance Scheme is going to sit down and then look at how much each provider owes. You know, I mean, if you take the story of Kumbugu, they owe only 600,000 Ghana cedis. So we can clear that outright. Now we, you know, especially those hospitals in the vulnerable areas, you know, because they don't earn much internally generated funds. You know, so let's leave it with the National Health Insurance to work out, you know, everybody's payment, because, you know, we want to, you know, clear all the outstanding balance.
But the question I was asking is that since you were in arrears before you made some part payment, we want to know that the payment that you made, it will cover for about how many months?
This is what I'm trying to say, is that the money was released in bulk. So National Health Insurance will compute whether whatever each provider is going to receive will be for 2 months or 3 months.
The health minister also lamented the high cost of pharmaceutical products in the country. Madam Aiti said she will meet the pharmaceutical chamber for an explanation of the cost buildup.
These pharmaceuticals, they don't hamper on that angle. We are also not happy about the cost of drugs in this country. And I've made it clear, I'm going to have a meeting with the chamber. We want to see what goes into the buildup of drugs into this country. The cost of drugs in Ghana, they are too expensive. And I think if you take the, you know, the National Health Insurance bill, 50% represent the cost of drugs, not acceptable. So at least government is trying to see how best we can bring down the cost of healthcare in Ghana. You know, and we are going to have a meeting with them and we'll discuss this.
And how soon will that meeting take place?
Oh, very soon. I'm meeting the, you know, principals of training colleges next week in Kumasi. We are going to look at how we are going to reduce that, the cost of our training for nurses and midwives. After that, I'm going to meet the pharmaceutical council in the chamber together, because we all know the FOB price. We know the tax that you pay. So there must be a minimal, overhead you can, you know, put on top of your cost. Everybody must be on board, so that we can, you know, provide a minimum and reasonable good quality healthcare, you know, service in the country.
But do you know why the cost of the products are that high?
And we are going to meet to discuss it. Oh. You should tell her.
Minister of Health Sherry Aiti talking to Bubu Klinugo.
Today is being observed as World Cancer Day. The Ministry of Health, Ghana Health Service, the Cancer Society of Ghana, and other stakeholders will join the rest of the world to commemorate the day. We bring you a news desk report.
A statement from the Ministry of Health says World Cancer Day is observed each year to raise awareness on the various cancers and to advocate for global action to control the epidemic by calling on the governments across the world to take action against the disease in order to save millions of preventable cancer deaths each year. On this day, individuals and communities are encouraged to adopt healthy lifestyles devoid of smoking, alcoholism, and physical inactivity. Regular voluntary checkups for early detection and treatment of cancer is promoted. The event is also measured as a significant movement to adopt and implement policies in controlling cancer and promoting a multisectoral and interdisciplinary response. Touching on the theme for this year's celebration, debunk the myth, cancer is preventable and curable, the statement said the team seeks to promote basic knowledge on cancer by calling on all stakeholders to provide accurate information in a sustained manner that will lead to a positive change in the perception and understanding of the disease. WHO report revealed that each year, more than 12.7 million people undergo cancer diagnosis and over 7 million people die of it. The incidence of cancer in Ghana is about 16,000 cases per year. The statement added that breast and cervical cancers are most common among women, while in men, the major ones are prostate and liver cancer. There are also childhood cancers like Burkitt's lymphoma. It's added that the increasing number of cancer cases in death in Ghana, mostly due to late reporting and the perception that cancer is not curable. Major cancers present warning signs such as pain, breast lump, nipple or vaginal discharge, and unexplained weight loss.
That was a news desk report on World Cancer Day.
The Winneba Municipal Hospital recorded no maternal death last year as compared to three in 2012 and 2011. The administrator of the hospital, Hayford Frimpong, said this at the 2013 annual performance review meeting of the hospital in Winneba. He said the facility also recorded only one case of stillbirth in 2013 compared to 15 in 2012 and 41 in 2011, adding that the success story was due to measures put in place by management of the hospital. These include both the medical and paramedical staff working together as a team with little resources available. The medical superintendent in charge of the hospital, Dr. George Prua, said the facility is facing a lot of challenges, including inadequate key staff such as midwives, x-ray, laboratory and pharmacy technicians. He said there is no toilet facility for outpatients and appealed to the assembly, corporate bodies and philanthropists to assist the hospital in its effort to give quality health care to the people.
The general manager of Coconut Grove Hotels, Raphael Aite, has called for the empowerment of local investors to boost the hospitality industry. According to him, although foreign direct investment brings a lot of money, proceeds or profits from the investments are normally repatriated. Mr. Aite urged local entrepreneurs to invest in the country to help retain profits which can be channeled into development. He spoke to Agatha Samoa on our current affairs program behind the news.
The foreign direct investment comes in with so much money, but eventually they go out with so much. And you appreciate that this concern that we have currently with regard to our currency depreciation, capital flight or foreign exchange flight is one of the factors. But if I, as a Ghanaian, am empowered and encouraged to invest in Ghana, all the attributes that go with foreign direct investment, which if I get to enjoy those benefits, I'm not in a hurry to send my money outside. So yes, foreign direct investment initially may look all rosy, all nice, for our books also that we are generating so much. But I think that if we can just turn it around a little bit and look at how much the Ghanaian can contribute to the development of his own nation, how much he can power, I think that that should help us turn the fortunes around of our dear nation now.
But talking about foreign investment, which areas do you think foreign investment should go into?
Well, first and foremost, I can talk of infrastructure. And here specifically, I can talk about roads. I can talk about access to our various tourist attractions, whether by river, whether by sea, or whether by land, or even by air. Because these investments are quite capital intensive, which we as Ghanaians haven't been capacitated enough to invest into. So for example, I will expect to have at least an airstrip at Morley, so I don't have to drive for almost 18 hours before I get to Morley. That's quite torturous for a tourist. For example, if there's an airstrip close to Kakum, now if we decide to go to say Kakum, say tomorrow, we leave in Accra at 10 o'clock, we are probably going to get to Kakum around 3 o'clock. But if there's an airstrip that is nearby, it will take us less than 20 minutes and we are close to Kakum, and then roads. And then also in ICT development. It's important that people, no matter how remote they are, how remote they set up their investments, are able to access the internet, because that's a serious means of selling their facilities.
That was the general manager of Coconut Grove Hotel, Raphael Aite. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Government releases fund to pay arrears owed hospitals under NHIS. World marks Cancer Day. Winneba Municipal Hospital recorded no maternal deaths last year. University of Ghana students kick against controversial road toll. Remains of BBC anchor Komla Dumo flown in. And President Goodluck Jonathan meets with new service chiefs to review national security.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with factual accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
The news as this continues. The introduction of toll booths at the University of Ghana, Legon, is creating inconvenience for students, drivers and users of road in the university. A visit by Radio Ghana to campus revealed that because drivers have to wait at the booths in order to pay the toll, it has led to heavy traffic build-up to the university. Radio Ghana also discovered that drivers who ply the university routes have increased their fares by almost 100% because of the toll they have to pay. Meanwhile, students of the university have threatened to go on demonstration if they are not exempted from paying the toll. Emilia Aite and Jonah Puckley report.
The foreign direct investment comes in with so much.
The University of Ghana has since the beginning of this month commenced tolling routes it recently rehabilitated. According to the authorities, this would enable them to raise funds to offset the 7 million Ghana cedis loan it contracted to finance the project. But this decision is not going down well with stakeholders, students and other road users who have kicked against it. Two students have already sued the school at the Supreme Court over the matter. There are two schools of thought. One believes the toll constitutes a tax, which according to the law can only be imposed by Parliament, while the other thing is simply a facility user fee comparable to those paid by students for their residential facilities. But as things stand now, it appears that the legality of the toll is not the only hurdle the authorities of the university have to tackle. The introduction of a toll has led to traffic build up at the various booths, creating inconvenience for the users of the route. When Radio Ghana got to the toll, there were long queues of vehicles from Gimpa or Bonglo, as well as those coming from Madina. Apart from the heavy vehicular traffic, Radio Ghana also observed an almost 100% increase in fares. For instance, previously, taxi drivers charged 80 pesos from Bonglo to campus, but they are now charging one cedi 50 pesos, whereas dropping has moved from 3 cedis to 6 cedis. According to the drivers, the increase is to make up for the toll. The university is charging 1 cedi per entry for private cars, 2 Ghana cedis for commercial vehicles and 3 cedis for trucks. The University of Ghana rate is twice more than what Parliament approved for the country's major routes. Meanwhile, the SRC has called on the authorities to exempt students from the payment, but were offered 75% discount. They, however, seem not satisfied, and indications are that the SRC, in collaboration with the Graduate Students Association, would be organizing a meeting to decide on whether or not to go on demonstration. Radio Ghana has been speaking to some students.
I got to Bonglo around 8:30, and out of 9 a.m., there was nobody in the taxi. I had to wait for long hours before people could join the taxi. People thought it was so expensive that they could not afford 2 cedis to come to registry, so their brother chose to walk, which is a very long distance. From Bonglo to registry is like 45 minutes walk. And then one more thing was that there was a lot of traffic today. We stayed in traffic for close to 15 minutes before we were being attended.
Taxi drivers appear to be the hardest hit, so we find out from them what they make of their situation.
Too bad! You see, even some of the government, what they are taking 50 pesos, and you are taking me 2 cedis. For what? For in and out. 1 cedi, if you are coming, 1 to 2 cedi. What, by Tema, if you are going to Tema, you pay 50 out, 50 in. So how can I pay 2 cedis? And even the, if you come 10 times, you are going to pay 10 times. Because it's wrong. I took dropping 7 cities to this place. And I paid 2 cities inside. If I'm coming back, I have to pay another 2 cities. How much am I going to get at the end of the day? Look at how petrol is costing.
Well, while the students have petitioned Parliament to intervene in the matter, the drivers have also submitted some proposals to the university authorities as to the way forward. But one question that bothers many is what happens should the Supreme Court declare the university's action as unconstitutional.
That was Emilia Aite and Jonah Puckley's report.
The Ashanti Regional Police Command has granted bail to 6 suspects who were arrested following disturbances in Kenyasi, according to the deputy PR of the command, Godwin Ahianyu. Although some people were injured, no one died as being reported. He said the police are still on the ground to ensure calm in the area. Yesterday morning, a number of residents were injured when they went on a demonstration to protest against bad roads in the town. The Ashanti Regional Police Command says investigations have begun into the matter.
It was very, very chaotic. The way the youth of Kenya and its environs wasn't good at all. But then the police was able to actually contain the situation, and we were able to calm the situation. The latest on it is that we arrested 6 persons, but as we speak, they've been granted police inquiry bail. Actually, the MP of the area, Honorable Kofi Sumpong Kabre, and then some of family members came in, held a discussion with the regional police commander, after which he discussed that they should be granted police inquiry bail. 4 of our men were also injured in the course of our operations. They are Sergeant Ofori Minister, Lance Corporal Diwo Yabua, Lance Corporal Bister, Constable Osafo Besumpim. Constable Osafo Besumpim had 2 of his feet broken, but then he's been discharged, but to go back to the hospital on Wednesday for it to be removed. That is going to use of surgery to get it removed. So that is what we have. We also have some civilian injuries. When we went to the hospital, we were told 5 persons came to report of injuries, the which is the record that we have at hand. Some were bruises, others 2 were other injuries. But we have not seen them. Nobody has come to report to us. There was no death casualty as it's being reported or as it's being peddled out there.
These youth, before going on this demonstration, did they not seek police permission?
They did. If you remember, I indicated that the organizers, led by Mr. Alfair Sibi, a lecturer from K-Poly, who is a native of Kenyasi, he actually led a delegation to the regional police commander last week, and we had a discussion, and according to them, they were going to make sure they talk to the youth better, so that nothing untoward will happen. Commander assured them that we're going to give them the necessary protection, which we did.
Deputy PR of Ashanti Regional Police Command, Godwin Ahianyo.
The Deputy Eastern Regional Minister Mavis Amafrimpong says government will continue to support any community that initiates development programs to improve their living standards. She noted that self-help and voluntary works by communities in the country have contributed significantly to improving not only their social lives but also the educational and health sectors as well as roads. Madam Amafrimpong stated this at the outdooring of 2 chiefs and a queen mother at Otumi in the Kwaibibrim district. The chiefs are Nana Oseya Kosa Chidonghene and the staff of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Nana Frifra Kwaku Yabua, a graduate of the University of Cape Coast, and Nana Ama Otiwa, teacher. According to the deputy minister, the government is aware of the tremendous contribution of the area to economic advancement of the nation.
A 4-year-old Akina Kanuri, who is battling with a holding heart condition, and a 20-year-old Rita Aduku, who has developed a deep crack in the thigh bone in the Upper East region, are calling on concerned individuals as well as corporate bodies to come to their aid. The 2 are in dire need of financial support to enable them to undergo surgery. Although the Ghana Heart Foundation has offered to foot half of the 10,000 Ghana cedis required to correct the defect, the family is going through difficult times to raise the rest of the money. The founder of the Operation Mango Tree Orphanage, Madame Ladi Aine, who disclosed the condition of the 2, said efforts have been made to raise funds in support of the 2 victims. Some individuals were touched by the plight of the 2, including the Upper East Regional Minister Alhaji Mohamed Muniru, Defense Minister Marco Yungo, and the MP for Nabdam Boniface Gambila have donated to see the lives of the 2 girls.
The remains of the late BBC broadcaster Kumla Dumo were returned home last night. The body was accompanied by the widow Kwansuma, his 3 children and some relatives at the airport to receive the remains, where a delegation for the Aklao Traditional Council, led by the paramount chief, Togbi Amenyafiti, the father, Professor Ernest Dumo, siblings, family members, government delegation, led by the chief of staff, Prosper Gani, the clergy and friends from the media, Georgette Cole and Samuel Bano, were there for Radio Ghana.
Pain and sorrow were visible on the faces of all who gathered at the Kotoka International Airport last night to receive the remains of the late BBC broadcaster Kumla Afeke Dumo. The casket, which was covered with a black traditional kente, was received by family members, government officials, friends and colleagues. Kumla Dumo joined the BBC in 2006 and became the host of the program Focus on Africa till his untimely death on the 18th of last month. Deputy Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, who is also a queen mother of the Aflao traditional area, Jisa Gomashi, described the late Komola Dumo as a gem who affected the lives of people, especially those around him. She said Komola had a unique style of presentation which will be difficult to be replaced.
I just remember him working majestically to go and speak to him, and the youth getting to know him and aspiring to be like him. And then at 41 years, he's taken away. What can anyone say to make it right? For me, it's just looking at Prof and I just imagining what he's going through is rocking my whole world. He's a man of faith, and yet I know that this is difficult. Seeing all of you here also just means that he did well for himself and for our country.
A colleague and friend of the late Komola Dumo, Jefferson Saki, described him as a strong man who will never be forgotten.
It's difficult to describe how I feel, really, because this is somebody a lot of us look up to, especially those of us who work for the multimedia team. It's always a benchmark. Whenever you're working, you are told that this is the kind of level that all of us are actually aspiring to reach. Knowing very well that he left this country some few weeks ago in December as a strong human being, the vocal, eloquent, articulate Komola Dumo that we know, coming back today with no life. I don't know, but the feeling is just very difficult to describe and to define. The number of tributes that actually poured in all over the world, he's somebody that Africa is going to find it very difficult to face and to get a replacement.
Family sources said funeral arrangements will be announced later.
Georgette Cole and Sam Obano's report.
And a Crown Circuit court has sentenced three young men to 30 years imprisonment for robbing a trader off his saloon car. The three, Robert Kufiando, a taxi driver, 23-year-old Harrison Brown Adakwa, unemployed, and Benjamin Adu Elias Kwabinebo, a footballer, were put before the court, presided over by Francis Obri, on charges of conspiracy and robbery. They denied the offense but were found guilty by the court after trial and accordingly convicted and sentenced. We bring you Amasewa Bediako's report.
Sentencing the three accused persons, Presiding Judge Francis Obri noted that the robbers have in several instances harmed or killed their victims. Chief Superintendent Duty Tuaruka called on the judge to hand a stiffer punishment to the accused persons to deter others. He intimated that the second accused, Harrison Adakwa, was already known by the police as it was not his first criminal act. The judge, Francis Obri, noted in his judgment that according to evidence before the court, the trader identified Ando and Ado as the robbers who attacked him and made away with his car. The court, however, acquitted and discharged Harrison on the charge of robbery. Mr. Obri, however, found all three accused persons guilty of the offense of conspiracy as the prosecution proved its case beyond doubt. Accordingly, the court sentenced all three to 25 years each for conspiracy. Ando and Ado are to serve 30 years each for the offense of robbery. The sentence is to run concurrently. According to the facts, the convicts decided to use the stolen car as a collateral for a loan of 7,500 cedis from a third party who was a witness in the case. The said third party became suspicious of them when Harrison, who claimed ownership of the car, showed up at his house with an undertaking but without the documents on the car. On July 4 last year, the witness handed both Harrison and the car to the Nsawam police. Ando and Ado, during investigations, told the police that they were contracted by Harrison for the robbery.
Amasewa Bediako's report.
In Nigeria, President Goodluck Jonathan has presided over the first security meeting, which was attended by the new service chiefs following last week's Senate approval of the appointment. The meeting deliberated on the continuing insecurity in parts of the country and the strategy to halt them. Reports say heads of all government institutions were present at the one-hour meeting, but no further delays were details were given.
Muslim youth have clashed with the police in protest over a raid on a mosque in Mombasa, in which two people died and more than 100 others arrested. Police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters who retaliated with hurling rocks. Two protesters were killed and a policeman critically wounded. The mosque has been at the heart of Al-Shabaab's attempt to radicalize disillusioned young Kenyan Muslims over the past couple of years.
Now to end the news in main points again. The Ministry of Health has released funds to pay arrears owed hospitals under the National Health Insurance Scheme. This follows threats issued by the Ghana Chamber of Pharmaceuticals to suspend supply of medicines to hospitals under the NHIS due to delay in reimbursement. The administrator of the Winneba Municipal Hospital, Hayford Frimpong, has said the facility recorded no maternal deaths last year. He said the facility also recorded only one case of stillbirth in 2013 compared to 15 in 2012 and 41 in 2011. The news was presented by Rosemary Gazi
and Abraham Donko in Accra.